About a year and a half ago, I met two brave souls named James McKinnon and Alisa Smith. They were right in the midst of attempting to spend a whole year eating meals made with ingredients that were produced no more than 100 miles away from their home in downtown Vancouver.
Well, here's the cupboards. This is what's left of what we preserved in the summer and fall. And we've got pickles here, ketchup, although my first time making ketchup, it's very watery. I didn't boil it long enough. Tomatoes. And these are plums from our tree up in northern British Columbia, our cabin in Doreen. And this is crab apple jelly, also from our trees up in Doreen. And strawberry preserves. We did a U-pick, probably in Delta.
Yeah, Westham Island.
The contents of the cupboard sounded pretty good, but that was after living through the bounty of summer and fall. When they started their adventure on the first day of spring in 2005, it was a bit tougher.
We naively thought that the first day of spring was when the first green shoots would burst from the earth, and within 2 weeks we'd be having spring green salads. And I don't know how many people remember the spring of 2005, but it wasn't. It was, and the winter just lingered, and the rain and the cold, and that was a long, lean period for us.
Yeah, that was when I definitely got sick of beets, because beets were one of the few things we could buy in the store, and all kinds of borscht was had around here, and I normally like it a lot, but potatoes I can have in endless quantities, but apparently beets is not one of those things, and I have not had a beet for about 8 months.
And and even fish, there were no fish being caught in the spring, so we were really, for protein, we were running on eggs, pretty much. We were having fritters and cheese and milk and, you know, dairy and eggs.
A few months after I interviewed McKinnon and Smith, I attended a food celebration in BC's Cowichan Valley. There I met Jen Lamb, who was inspired by the couple to create a website encouraging a 100-mile diet for the people of her home base of Nanaimo on Vancouver Island.
It seems to be a concept that people have really kind of cottoned on to say, hey, this sounds really neat, I want to try it.
And yet it's so traditional and old school, isn't it? It's so old, it's new again. But I think especially for an island community, it's that much more important because we're dependent on, you know, very limited transport routes to get our food here. But also because we live in such a fertile area, and we've forgotten how fertile it really is and what it can really produce. You know, and I always wonder, like, well, why are we bringing in apples from New Zealand when we have such amazing apple orchards on this island? And for me, it comes down largely to a matter of food security. I want there to be, you know, apple orchards and cheese artisans and, you know, locally grown vegetables, you know, for the future. And to not be dependent on those transport systems to be bringing those in.
In her first year of doing the 100-mile diet, Jen Lamb was able to put together a pretty respectable resource list of foods for people to taste, including a very homegrown cranberry sauce.
I've got cranberries from Yellow Point Cranberries out in Ladysmith, and it's basically cranberries, a little bit of blueberries from a local farm in Nanaimo, locally grown, locally produced honey, and unsweetened apple juice. It's all boiled down. It's an alternative to that canned cranberry sauce you get for Thanksgiving, and I'm serving it on true grain baguette.
Now tell me about this fruit here, because this is something that you wouldn't think could be growing in Canada, but here it is.
Here it is. It's a kiwi fruit, and Kiwi Cove Lodge is growing 7 different varieties of kiwis. And they're growing, what we have here is a grape kiwi fruit, and they're also growing the typical fuzzies, both the green and the goldens.
Jen Lamb is just one of the people I've talked to over the past couple of years who have become re-energized by being able to discover the bounty that's right next door to their homes, and the overall effect it can have on supporting a local economy of food producers who can really use the support. The excitement level generated by this diet has not started to peak by any means. In March, James McKinnon and Alisa Smith published a book on their year-long experience called, appropriately enough, The 100-Mile Diet, A Year of Local Eating. It now sits at number 25 on the bestseller list at Amazon.ca, an impressive ranking considering how many books are released in Canada each week. The 100-Mile Diet was a nice round figure Smith and McKinnon thought would work as a title, with apologies to Canada's metric system. Somehow the 160-kilometer diet doesn't flow as well. But next week I'm going to take you to a place where people might think that foods coming from more than 5 miles away would be a stretch.
As we go up the hill, you will be walking on a path that has been constructed 4,000 years ago. So I don't remember which of you were with me when I was mentioning that on Crete we had a civilization flourishing between 2000 years BC and 1200 BC. That was the Minoan civilization. Okay, so we just go have the view, we say a few things, and then we come down for the greens.
On the Greek island of Crete, you share the old pathways with goats and walk only a few hundred meters to collect edible wild greens that are not only tasty, but also good for your health. More on spring vegetation and the very local Cretan diet next week on Food for Thought. I'm Don Genova.